back to another edition of the Mox Insiders. My name is Jeff Ellis, and today joining us on the program is, as usual, Eric Cooksey. And also we have a special guest, Mr. Walker Rhodes, a very close analytical mind when it comes to the Mox, and he's joining us today. And we're going to talk about the depth chart a little bit and how the Mox are shaking out. So let's join Eric and Walker right now here on the Mox Insiders.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. I'm Eric speaking. This is our second episode, second go at this regarding covering the Mox football team. We're going to be talking about today the 2017 projected starters depth chart and just kind of overall positional battles and whatnot. So real quick, breaking news, Mox breaking news, that is. We now have a new defensive coordinator, Coach Tom Kaufman. Spent last season as the special teams coordinator and linebackers coach at Syracuse. Coach Kaufman and Tom Arth played together from 99 to 02 at John Carroll University. And Tom Arth had great things, actually exemplary things to say about Coach Kaufman. So there's some familiarity. And I do want to state real quick, while Coach Kaufman was at Eastern Illinois the year before he arrived, he was 2-9 when he arrived at Eastern Illinois in 2012. They jumped to 7-5 in 2013, his second year on the job at Eastern Illinois. They finished 12-2 and finished third in the FCS. He has a master's degree from Heidelberg. Quick poll, anybody know where Heidelberg College is? Guess not. But regardless, we are very excited about our new defensive coordinator. And Walker, any thoughts on Coach Kaufman?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. From all reports we've heard, he's going to be a guy that brings in a 3-4 defense. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of multiple looks, different players doing different things, keep the opposing offense on their toes. I'm excited to see that.
Great. So let's jump right in here to the quarterback situation, offense. We'll jump right in here to quarterback. We return senior Alejandro Benefield. He gave us 3,000 yards last year. Proven guy, leader on the team as far as teammates and overall professionalism and leadership. Really like Alejandro. Walker, care to elaborate on what Alejandro brings regarding his senior season?
Yeah, I'm excited to see especially what he does under Coach Arth. You know, Coach Arth has a lot of experience with the quarterback position. He's an offensive mind. He was a quarterback himself. Alejandro had a great first year as a starter. He had the ups and downs you expect
Correct.
To see from a first-year starter. I'm really excited to see how Coach Arth molds him into an even more refined passer in a passing-first offense. I'm really excited to see how that works.
Great. And as far as the backup position, Roberson, correct? Can I get a thumbs up on Roberson? He's still there, but we can assume that we're going to see some sort of sights from Nick Tiano, transfer from Mississippi State, who prepped here at Baylor 2 years ago, 3-star athlete. So one would presume he was built more like Jacob Huseman, correct, Walker? And elaborate on Nick Tiano and what he could bring regarding a backup role.
Yeah, Nick is a guy. He's 6'4", about 250 pounds. He's a big guy. He reminds you Jacob Huseman.
Correct.
Watching his highlights from high school. A guy who was the number 22 prospect in the whole state mm-hmm. in 2015. He's got a lot of talent as a player. If not at quarterback, at the backup spot, he's someone I would expect to see the Mox try to get on the field some way or another. You know, you think about the biggest plays we've had over the past several seasons, it's been with, you know, two quarterbacks in the field,
Great
Huseman and Benefield, Roberson and Benefield. A lot of things you can do with an athletic guy like Tiano, and I'm excited to see how they use him. On the other hand, a different style quarterback is Zach Weatherly, a redshirt freshman. He's more of your, you know, prototypical pro-style pass-first quarterback.
Correct.
Very accurate.
Very accurate. Yeah, accuracy would be a great synonymous word when indicating Weatherly, correct?
Absolutely. He's a guy, again, just a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. He's going to need time to grow, but he's a guy I'm excited to see as well. And those two guys, I think, will be battling for that primary backup spot throughout the season.
Okay, Walker, any other comments regarding quarterbacks? Actually, real quick, I'll jump in. Cole Copeland, who signed in the 2017 recruiting class, one would presume that he is redshirted. Would you also assume, I mean, just given the diversity of our quarterback situation, you would presume he's redshirted, correct?
Sure. I think arguably he is the best quarterback in the state this year as a high school player, but certainly you'd like to see him redshirt and get 5 years in a college program.
Correct. 6'4", 200. He hails from Bradley Central in Cleveland, Tennessee. So let's move right on to running backs or having to replace a guy in Derek Crane, workhorse, Southern Conference, bulldozer, so to speak. Gave us 1,300 all-purpose yards last year. Really the question for running backs is who on our roster can replicate that? Or are we going to be a more of a running back by committee with Bagley, Knowles, Trotter, and Walker? Any sort of, I guess, immediate thoughts regarding the running back situation?
Sure. I think you're not likely to see the same sort of grinded out offense that we've seen, under Coach Huseman. I think this is an offense that's very likely to suit Bagley very well. A guy who you like to see get the ball in space, catching the ball out of the backfield.
Correct.
Bagley's going to do great in that role. And as a starter, he did well last year, 300 yards and two starts. You wonder if he can hold up to the beating of a Southern Conference schedule.
Correct.
And so that's where guys like Alex Trotter come in to help him shoulder that load.
And Knowles is listed at what, 6'6", 210, 6'1", 210. He's more maybe the Keon Williams, more the bruiser type, and then maybe even also the addition of Shaquan McCoy, and his kind of reemergence to the program, right, Walker?
Absolutely. I think McCoy is a guy that I'm excited to see back with the Mocs. He played really well in spring ball last year.
Correct.
There's a bit of a logjam at running back.
Yeah,
last season
good word,
with
yeah.
Crane. So McCoy didn't see the work during the fall, but he's apparently playing well again this spring, and I'm excited to see how that translates with the new coaching staff and a new opportunity for him.
So let's move right on to wide receiver group. We are replacing senior Xavier Borshadi, leader guy, just an overall leader, gave us 5 to 8 catches a game. We're replacing deep threat CJ Board and two pros for the Mox team from last year regarding their senior leadership and what they did as far as production efficiency and as far as representing the Chattanooga Mox. So this upcoming season, 2017 season, really hoping for the emergence of Alfonso Stewart. Remember, he gave us 2 touchdowns against Weber State in the playoff round. What was that, first round or second round against Weber? First round against Weber, gave us 2 touchdowns there. We saw a kind of a screen pass to Bingo Morton, who took it for a touchdown. There's potential there also, but really this receiving group is kind of also similar to the running backs. Just a lot of potential, but not a lot of maybe production. Walker, care to clarify?
Yeah, this is one thing that I think is going to be interesting across the board, but especially at wide receiver. When you get a new coaching staff in, guys that maybe had kind of gotten buried on the depth chart with the previous coaching staff, you get a new look, a new, mm-hmm. A fresh set of eyes on this roster. So when you look at guys like Dwan McQuarters, in high school, I watched some of his tape. He was electric with the
absolutely.
Ball. He was a guy you want to get the ball in space to, someone you kind of want to manufacture those touches for.
Great word, yeah.
He's been buried on the depth chart here at Chattanooga. But this is an opportunity for him this spring to really make a name for himself. Only had 5 catches in 2016, but he's a player that can really make those game-breaking plays for you if you can get him the ball.
Absolutely. So any other thoughts on the wide receiver group? James Stovall, Bingo Morton, Will Young also. Actually, I'll interject here real quick, Walker. I remember going to the VMI game 2 seasons ago, when Will Young had his freshman coming out party. I think he had 7 catches for about 85, 86, and that never really came to fruition again. So I'm curious to see if maybe Will Young can be that possession type receiver. Maybe McQuarters can be that stretch the field guy, and Alfonso just kind of clogged the middle up there, almost similar to like a tight end. So I guess with that said, let's move to tight ends. Walker, sound good? Jeff?
Let's do it.
Tight end group, really questions. This is an, I would use the word intriguing also. Malcolm Colvin, who feels like he's been on the roster since 2005, is a rising senior, more of that run blocking guy, kind of, he's more the guy that can kind of coverage. I mean, it seemed like every time a play went one way, he went the opposite way, whether that was by design or not. But regardless, he's more of a blocking tight end in the run game. We have Bailey Lenore, who had the sole lone tight end touchdown last year. Bailey Lenore, who's also from East Hamilton here in Chattanooga. Walker, any further thoughts on the tight end group?
I think farther on down the depth chart, Jack Huebler, he's a redshirt freshman. If you had to pick out a tight end for someone who's going to be a receiving threat, it may be Huebler. He had 15 touchdown catches his senior season in high school. Obviously, as a freshman, he's going to need some additional growth and development, but maybe someone to keep an eye on as we move forward here.
Absolutely. And it's also curious, given the new scheme that the new coaching staff is going to implement, I'm wondering how important, the production, what the tight end or tight end spots are going to mean regarding asking them to catch more. Are we going to see maybe 20, 30 receptions this season? Or I think between Colvin and Lenore last year, I think total, they had maybe 8 total catches combined between all 12 games. So I'm curious to see if that number increases, kind of what they're asking the tight ends to do for this upcoming scheme.
The Mox Insiders will be back right after this short break.
I think I'm living someone else's dream. She's in the movies on the silver screen. I wonder if she'll notice me. I even heard she turns down Broadway.
We're back with the Mox Insiders, joining Eric Cooksey and Walker Rhodes here on WUTC FM 88.1.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. We are back. A couple of corrections. We played 13 games last year, not 12. Malcolm Colvin, tight end, did indeed catch a touchdown pass. I had stated that Bailey Lenore was the lone tight end touchdown reception of last year. But Malcolm Colvin did indeed have a touchdown along with Bailey Lenore. Bailey had one reception for the touchdown, and Malcolm Colvin had 7. So yes, I was right about the 8 total receptions, but 8 total receptions between the two tight ends and 2 touchdowns. So I wanted to clarify that. And also, Tyler Roberson is not on the 2017 roster. He has decided not to continue playing football. So let's move right into the offensive line. So, again, Walker, I mean, the theme of this offense has really just been curiosity and intrigue. What are your initial thoughts on the 2017 offensive line?
Well, if you had to pick one position group and say this is our question mark heading into 2017, I would say it's the offensive line. You lose guys like Corey Levin, you lose Revis at center, Townsend. You're not just losing, players that contributed. You're losing all SoCon, all FCS type talent.
Absolutely.
There's big voids to fill there, and so there's a lot of questions to be answered on the offensive line.
So, I think we can both agree, Walker, that rising sophomore Malcolm White is going to be our shoe-in for left tackle. Can you do you agree with that? Any other sort of details or confirmation on that?
I would definitely agree. He's started every game as a freshman last year.
As a freshman, right.
Certainly expect that to continue.
And regarding the 2017 recruiting class, we had stated that Cole Copeland will presumably be redshirted. But I personally agree that McClendon Curtis from here in Chattanooga Central High School, 3-star offensive lineman, will get action, will get playing time, presumably will start as a true freshman, maybe right tackle. So I think he's going to kind of take the same route that Malcolm White had, and we're going to have two essentially statue pillars. What's Malcolm White about? 6'6", and McClendon Curtis is somewhere around that 6'6", 6'7" range also. So I expect Malcolm White and McClendon Curtis to be our anchors on the end. Moving to the interior guard positions, Walker, care to jump in and talk about the interior guard position?
Again, there's question marks here. You're going to see some new faces, maybe faces we've seen scattered in different scenarios in
Correct.
Previous seasons. Brian Marshall, he started one game at left guard. I believe it was the Furman game last year. I think he's got a good chance to become a starter full-time this season as well. And then at center, Josh Cardiello, he's played guard for us in the past, but going back to his high school days, he was actually the number 5 rated center in the country coming out of high school when he went to Georgia. He's with us now. We're glad to have him. Like I said, he's played guard in the past for us, but with the void at center, we lose two guys at center, actually. I think the reasonable choice to kind of pencil in there is the starting center for 20.
Great. And also, given where we are as far as time frame, Corey Levin, who Walker mentioned just a moment ago, Corey Levin participated at the NFL Combine, saw him on NFL Network. We are recording the Thursday after the NFL Combine weekend in Indianapolis. So we wish Corey Levin the best as he pursues his professional NFL, NFL career, professional NFL football career. So with that said, Walker, any final thoughts on the offense before we move to defense?
I don't think so. I think this is definitely the position group to watch as we go through spring ball and into the fall.
And you're referencing the offensive line, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's jump into defense. I have penciled here the notion that there may be 5 potential returning starters to the defense, kind of overall. Let's just kind of jump in real quick and talk about defensive ends. Now, Walker, care to clarify real quick regarding the new defensive scheme that's likely to take effect?
We talked about the offensive side may see a more pass-heavy offense.
Correct.
Defensively, maybe even bigger changes. We've gotten used to seeing 4-man fronts here in Chattanooga, 4 defensive linemen. Likely, it sounds like we're going to be moving to a 3-4 defense, so 3 different defensive linemen and 4 linebackers. It's going to be a big theme as we move, prepare for the season. How are those defensive players adjusting to those new positions?
Great. So let's start interior defensive line and work out. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
So I think kind of similar to what we were referencing on the offensive side with Malcolm White as a left tackle, we can, I guess, both go ahead and say that Derek Mahaffey is going to be that anchor, that brick wall at nose, correct?
No.
The heart of your 3-4 defense is someone to take up space at nose tackle. And at 6'2", 305, he's taken up a lot of space in the middle of the field. He's not a guy that's going to get a lot of sacks. He's going to be exactly what you want in a nose tackle, taking up space, making room for those inside linebackers to operate.
Correct. So I also have written here, Walker, you can kind of interject at any moment here. I've also got written in Quentin Alabacow. Jeff or Walker, care to clarify the pronunciation?
Alabacowis.
Alabacowis.
Alabacus.
Nice, nice interjection there, Jeff. Now Quentin was recruited as the answer or the prescription to the game after, like, essentially he was recruited because we lost to Jacksonville State by getting just gashed up the middle. It was that second round quarterfinal playoff 2 years ago. So Quentin was kind of that answer to be for sure up our interior of our defensive lineman. So, and Walker, what do you have his weight at again? Was it 3, Quentin?
He's listed
as a freshman.
300 pounds.
300 pounds.
295
so,
right now. So
yeah, he was kind of the he was recruited to be that stopgap on our defensive line there. So I also have Isaiah Mack, rising junior, who's essentially started freshman and sophomore seasons. Walker, where do you see Isaiah Mack, defensive tackle, lining up?
You know, it's all projection right now.
Correct.
He's a defensive tackle that you saw a lot more production as far as rushing the passer. I think
Correct.
He had like 14 or 15 tackles for loss last season. He's a guy in a 3-4, you might see them kick him out to end occasionally.
Correct.
He's a player I can see probably fitting in at both spots depending on, down and distance.
Yeah, he's a little bit more athletic than Derek Mahaffey is as far as maybe potentially getting after the quarterback or even just lateral movement. So let's move, I guess, to a defensive end here. Again, replacing Keontae Williams is no simple task. Keontae Davis, forgive me. I was down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl with Keontae Davis. I should know how to pronounce his name. So I mean, we're looking at here, I've got Taylor Reynolds. Maybe he slides over from DT to defensive end. What's the status of Joshua Phillips, MTSU transfer? What's his height?
He's 6'8".
6'8". So what's your projection regarding Joshua Phillips and also DJ Prather's rising senior?
Phillips, I think, is a guy that at 230, 240 pounds, probably not going to see him on a defensive line in a 3-4, but I think as an outside linebacker, that's really going to play to his skill set. That length, the speed and athleticism he has, he's a basketball background.
Yes.
That's what you look for in an outside linebacker. He's going to really be able to make some plays there. I agree with you on Taylor Reynolds. I think he's absolutely a defensive end in a 3-4. Prather, I could see him playing really either position, linebacker or defensive end. I think he's probably more of a defensive end. He didn't seem to be quite as, you know, twitchy of an
Correct.
Athlete as you like to see it outside linebacker, so maybe put him at defensive end. But again, defensive coordinator just arrived a couple of days ago, so
right.
a lot of that is still up in the air.
But I think we can both rest assured that we are going to have some athletes on the outside.
Absolutely.
Regarding just athleticism overall, tenacity, and I'm really looking forward to the defensive line production going into 2017. So, Walker, any other thoughts on the defensive line as we move kind of from the interior to the outside?
No, I think we covered it.
So you had kind of already talked about Joshua Phillips being more of an outside linebacker given the new scheme fit. Also, I just love talking about Dell Warren, 18 tackles for a loss last year. Where do you project Dell Warren in this defense?
When you look at Dell Warren, he is basically, if you went to Central Casting and said, hey, mm-hmm. I need an inside linebacker, go find me one, you would pick Dell Warren.
Absolutely.
He's exactly what you look for in an inside backer. I think he's going to do great in a 3-4. I think another guy I'm interested to see is Hawk Schreider. He's a transfer from Richmond. In his freshman year at Richmond, he did play in 13 games. He was that linebacker. And I think he's a guy who likely fits in the inside as well. He's actually a player that was All-State first team in California in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty high praise.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see what he can bring to that inside spot as well.
And in Dell Warren here, I've got, he had 91 total tackles last year, 19 tackles for a loss. I was wrong. I said 18 TFL. He actually had 19. So Nikevion Leslie had 106 tackles last year. Nikevion was just all over the place. What a baller that guy was. But Nikevion has graduated, so Dell Warren is our next, I guess, linebacker leader. So any other thoughts on linebacker, given the – I mean, we're going to have you had stated that potential of moving to a four linebacker look. So we've got T.J. Jenkins, rising senior, Tavon Lawson. Where is he going to end up? Any other thoughts on the linebacker group?
I have to say all Mox fans should be excited to see Tay Davis get after the quarterback.
Absolutely.
He's a player that could do really well at that outside linebacker spot as well.
And I always saw Tay Davis on the sidelines just like riling the players up. Just really just felt like a leader. He belonged, and he was always just ready to knock heads on special teams. You got to love a guy who's so excited to play special teams and bring that fire and energy to the defensive side as he finally gets a chance to start.
We'll be back with the conclusion of the Mox Insiders after this short break here on WUTC 88.1 FM. We're back with the conclusion of the Mox Insiders here on WUTC.
Yes, we're back here. We are finishing up talking about the defense for the 2017 Chattanooga Mox projected starters / depth chart. So Walker, losing strong safety Cedric Nettles, he finished fourth as far as tackling last year, fourth on the team as far as tackling, losing him. Tay Davis played Cedric's backup last year, but Tay's going to move down into an outside linebacker position. So who do you have playing alongside Lucas Webb at the strong safety position?
Well, I think there's probably going to be a battle at that strong safety spot. You know, whoever they put in the box there. Look at Tavon Lawson,
correct?
Jarrell Lawson, He was a three-star guy coming out of high school.
Jarrell The Law Lawson. Yeah, keep going.
Those are two guys who violent football players.
Absolutely.
They're the kind of guys you want in the box to help provide that run support and focus on those tight ends as well. Whoever gets that spot is going to have a big luxury of playing alongside Lucas Webb.
Absolutely, yes.
Who is probably, I think it's safe to say, the heart and soul of this football team, especially on defense.
Absolutely.
He's been a real pleasure to watch him, you know, mature as a football player and grow into a leader on this team. I look forward to see what he brings for this his last senior season here.
Absolutely. So moving out wide now to the CBDB spot. We've got returning players C.J. Fritz from Macaulay and then rising senior Trevor Wright. Trevor Wright's one of those guys also, like Malcolm Colvin. He feels like he's been on the roster since 05. But, Walker, any comments on Fritzy and Wright?
Fritz and Wright, I think, are two guys that you feel really good about, you know, lining them up against most anybody in the Southern Conference. I think they're two of the better cornerbacks in the league, and I think they'll continue that tradition of strong cornerback play that we have here in Chattanooga. I think behind them there's some question marks, some unproven
Absolutely.
Guys that will have the opportunity to make a name for themselves. Moving forward, you look at Jordan Jones. He played sparingly over the course of 13 games last season. Behind him, there's Rashawn Freeman, who's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, he prepped at Utawal here in Chattanooga.
Yep, two-star guy coming out. And then Brandon Dowell, a freshman for us. I think if you're looking at freshmen who are going to have the opportunity to contribute early in their collegiate careers, he's a guy who had FBS offers coming out of high school. With some questions at cornerback depth, he may make a play to get some time in the secondary this year as well.
Also, Cortez Davis and K.J. Roper, who is backing up Lucas Webb at the free safety position. Correct, Walker?
Absolutely. A very athletic guy and another
Absolutely,
guy
yeah.
who's got a lot of potential. And once he gets his chance, I think he's going to be a good performer for us as well.
Right. So that concludes the defensive side of things. Let's move right into the special teams. We are replacing Henrique Ribeiro. Is that pronounced correctly? I just call him Henrique. Guy who essentially did everything for us on special teams in a variety of roles regarding pooch kicks, onside kicks, field goal. I mean, really everything. Everybody knows who Henrique, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you know who Henrique is and what he meant to this team. Walker and I were at the Wofford game 2 years ago when Henrique kicked, I believe it was a 42 or a 44-yard field goal to win the game, beat Wofford. So Henrique is definitely going to be missed in the Southern Conference.
Absolutely. And replacing him at punter, we saw this transition start last year.
Correct.
Colin Brewer in his freshman season averaged over 40 yards a punt in his first year of action. I expect to see another strong season from him at punter.
And we'll have Emery, is it Norrid? Correct. He will be our long snapper, rising senior also. As Walker had mentioned, Colin Brewer, 6'3", 205, prepped here at Baylor, also a rising sophomore. Any other thoughts on, well, I guess we can get into Victor Olmo. Is it Olmo or Olmo? Olmo. So, again, kicking, the kicking game is similar to the running back situation. Is there are guys that have potential that played behind or that are, they're going to have opportunity this season regarding special teams, regarding fielding kicks or kickoffs, that matter, and also field goals. But we just don't know. Henrique was that guy for us for 4 years. So similar to the running back, and replacing Derek Crane is no simple task, along with replacing Henrique is no simple task. Walker, any final thoughts on the special teams guys?
I would just say on Olmo, 82% touchback rate in high school on his kickoffs. He was 8 for 11 his senior year, and he's had a whole year to sit behind Ribeiro, get those practice reps in, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do for us in 2017.
And also alongside of we both here, the Mox Football Insiders, believe rising true freshman McClendon Curtis, offensive line, will get playing time. Also, name to note, Jacob Bailey, who might have the best hair on the team, redheaded kid, 6'1", 170. We saw his tape. He can make those 40 and 50 yard field goals. So there will definitely be competition at kicker, kickoff, field goal. But I think Walker and I can both agree that Colin Brewer is our going to be our punter and for sure punter entering the 2017 season. So that concludes the depth chart, 2017 depth chart discussion. With the Mox Football Insider second episode, we are recording Thursday, March 7th, 2017. We will be recording two or three more shows throughout the – yes, and that concludes us here with the Mox Football Insiders discussing the 2017 Chattanooga Mox projected starters and depth chart. We plan on doing continuing this throughout the offseason into spring practice and such. Planning on doing two to three more podcast episodes for your listening pleasure, discussing the spring game, discussing what we see at spring practice, et cetera, other news and notes throughout the offseason, then obviously discussing projecting the 2017 season, discussing the schedule, those kind of things. So be sure to keep in touch with us at Mox Insiders, MOCSINSID. ERS, Mox Insiders on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, and feel free to send any sort of questions to moxinsiders@gmail.com. We will be at all of the 2017 football games on the sidelines in the press box. There will be three or four of us at each Mox game covering this for you, and then we'll be doing live shows throughout the 2017 season on Tuesday nights. Is that correct, Jeff? Tuesday nights at 7 throughout the season. So for Jeff Walker and I, we say goodbye from the Mox Football Insiders. Stay tuned throughout the offseason for continuing coverage of Chattanooga Mox football. Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Mox Insider. And as usual, enjoy our music provided by the Swingers Band.